like to invite the following people to join me for lunch.
I think we should share an awesome blossom. What do you say? They are awesome.
Order!
Cheeseburger, please.
Get off, Napoleon. Make yourself a dang quesadilla.
And I'll have the number 8. That's a party platter. It serves 12 people. I know what I'm about, son.
This burrito is delicious, but it is filling.
Okay, I'll have the linguine, red sauce on the side. If the sauce does not come on the side, I will send it back.
Can I take your order?
It's time for the Lunch Rush, the latest and greatest in sports news. Here's Brady Hall.
Every time I hear that clip, I just want an awesome blossom. Those are amazing. And they are awesome. They're so good. Have you had them?
Yes.
Before? Not a lot of people do that.
No, not an awesome blossom. I've had a Bloomin' Onion before.
Isn't that kind of the same thing?
Yeah, it's not Michael Scott approved.
Buffalo Bills defensive coordinator Leslie Frazier is taking a year off from coaching. Bills general manager Brandon Bean said earlier this week at the NFL Combine that Frazier reached out last week to say that he wanted to take a step back, but he clarified to the Bills that he did not want to retire and was sure about returning to coaching. That's a little weird. Like, is he expecting them to hold his position when he comes back? If they hire a defensive coordinator and then, oh, Leslie Frazier wants to come back in and you fire your defensive coordinator, bring him back?
Two thoughts. Is McDermott a good coach to work with? Because that's now a DC and an OC in the last 2 years. Second, is the Bills dynasty dead?
Well, it was never a dynasty.
That's the joke.
I don't know. According to ESPN, there's no like health issues or anything with Frazier. He's 63 years old. He dead set on returning in 2024. But Bean also said that they weren't sure if he would return, if the return would definitely be with the Bills. He said when it comes to filling the role, the possibility has been left open for Sean McDermott to just call the defensive plays. So I'm just going to do it for a year until you are ready to come back. Listen, guys want to take breaks and all that stuff. That's fine. But don't have any expectations. And wouldn't that be kind of unfair to McDermott? Hey, we want to hold this. We don't want to hire a defensive coordinator. Because they're not going to be able to bring anybody in that wants to do that job that knows, you know, if I'm not perfect, then it's obviously going to go right back to Leslie Frazier. It's a weird deal. It's kind of strange. The Raiders are saying, Josh McDaniels is saying, hey, when we're looking for our quarterback, we want him to be here for a long time. He said, we've got to get somebody that gets us into the end zone. Ultimately, we've got to win. The goal eventually is to try to have a young player that's going to be a Raider for a long time. So does that mean Rodgers, the idea of Aaron Rodgers, is out? If you're Josh McDaniels, you want to get your own guy that you groom and pick and do all that. He's never had that before. As a head coach, he didn't have that in Denver. He's had it as an OC. But Mac Jones, trade. I don't know that Belichick's married to Jones at this point.
I'm not so sure about Jones. I've been seeing reports that he doesn't take criticism well, and
neither does
coaches avoided talking to him because he wouldn't take the criticism very well, which is kind of interesting.
Well, I know
I don't
McDaniels...
think Mac Jones is future in New England.
No, and in Mac Jones' defense, they did him dirty in New England. Who's your offensive coordinator? Your old defensive coordinator mixed with this other guy, and we're going to... They did him no favors there.
Oh, look, there's Bailey Zappi.
Yeah, it was goofy, man. I don't know. They want a young guy, and Jones is still a young guy. The Raiders also have the 7th pick overall this year. So when you're looking at quarterbacks, obviously Bryce Young's going to be out of that unless they can make some phone calls to Chi-Town and move on up. Possibility. C.J. Stroud is going to be on the board. Can the Raiders move up that many spots, though? Stroud's probably a 4th.
I mean, the Patriots might be set at 7 if they trade for that pick and then they just go get their quarterback.
You got...
like a Will Levis.
Will Levis out of Kentucky definitely will be there by the time 7 hits. Who else is there for quarterback?
Richardson from Florida.
And he'll be there. That's what it sounds like to me. Or do you Do you go for broke with Aaron Rodgers for 1 year? No, it's not going to happen. According to that statement, they don't do it.
What's a long time in the NFL? 5 years?
Yeah, I mean, the odds are that you get these Aaron Rodgers-type guys. It's tough to do that, man. It's tough to do that. To get a guy that's going to play for you for
and they have to
multiple
pay
seasons.
Too.
Yeah, that's a big one. They need him no matter what they do. And we'll see what ultimately happens with Jacobs. How about this one? Pete Carroll was talking on, he did a big old spiel shortly after all this stuff about Russell Wilson came out, all the turmoil and stuff. But he's at the combine, Pete Carroll is, and he was talking about Russ. He was talking about Sean Payton and saying, hey, I think Sean Payton's the guy that can get this thing done. Carroll said of Payton's arrival in Denver, I don't think you can come up with a guy better coaching quarterbacks than Sean. He's proven that. He's had such tremendous success. He's got a great play caller mentality to him. They're very fortunate to have him. He addressed last week's report about Russell Wilson wanting them fired, him and the general manager, John Schneider, fired. Carroll said, my response to that is a similar response to what's always been with the guys I've coached. I'm always going to hang with them. I'm never going to leave them, and I'm going to be there at the end. All of the good stuff, all of the bad stuff, I'm going to be there. So that's it. I'm hanging. Doesn't matter who the guy is. Regardless of what had happened, what has taken place, things that have been said, if you hang with them, it all comes back around. I'd like to demonstrate that faith in the relationship and the depth of what we did together. And the growth challenges it brings to us along the way. What does that mean? He didn't address the Russ. Did Russ try to get you fired? And how does that make you feel? Interesting story there. It just adds more to this Russell Wilson thing. Payton did sit down with everybody. And Sean Payton, he had dinner with Wilson and others, including Hall of Famer Joe Montana in Arizona during Super Bowl week. Said he has exchanged some texts with Wilson and that the two will talk more in the weeks ahead before Broncos open their offseason program in April. You know they're talking. You know those two are already cooking, trying to figure this thing out. It just makes me wonder how committed Sean Payton really is going to be to Russ. I mean, Sean Payton, he was in the media last year, so he covered all of this stuff about Russ. He talked about Russ. He talked about Nathaniel Hackett and the strange dynamic brewing in Denver over the last year. So he talked about those things. I just wonder if he's soured on the whole Russell Wilson thing. And some would argue that, Angel, and say, well, if he was, he wouldn't have come to Denver. No, because I think that the understanding now is we got Russ, Sean. He still got it, man, right? If anybody can get him right, you can. And if not, he's out the door. So, and no pressure on you. If we don't make the playoffs, we don't make the playoffs. I seriously think that, I don't know if that was said, but I think that the understanding was next year is a, you know, get your bearings about you. Get your feet underneath you, planted firmly underneath you in Denver. And if Russ is a part of that, great. If not, you are going to have carte blanche here to try to figure out your next quarterback.
Is Broncos country patient enough to give Payton that, hey, kind of just get your bearings, get back into coaching type of year, while also trying to balance, hey, what are we going to do with Russell? And I do think that, you know, if we know about it, surely Sean Payton knows this team has an option to cut Russell after this year.
I think a logical fan would say, okay, Russ struggled. He needs some, as Elway put it years ago about Brock Osweiler, some quarterback rehab. So, okay, he needs that. Sean Payton's new. They got to repair an offensive line. There might be some young guys there. He's got a brand new coaching staff. This has got to be viewed probably as Rome wasn't built in a day. However, because you traded all of the draft picks away, you are really hoping that the current roster can get you to where you need to be in the next 2 years, next year even, competing, getting close. I said this yesterday, and I still believe this, that I don't think there's any middle ground with Sean Payton. It's either got to be the greatest move the Broncos have ever made, or it's going to be one of the worst moves they've ever made. Because even if they're a 500 team missing the playoffs, it will still go down as one of the worst moves because you traded away so many draft picks. You're going to remain just in that football purgatory where you're not great, you're not bad, you're right in the middle. But should there be patience next season? And I'm talking, are you okay if they win 9 games but miss the playoffs? 8 to 9 games, miss the playoffs, be in the playoff discussion, but maybe miss out by 1 or 2 games. I think you have to be, as a Broncos fan, you have to at least start thinking about that. Because if you just look at the raw, and always Tanner and I always have these arguments about the rosters, because he, you know, last year when we had this argument about Aaron Rodgers coming to Denver, I said, well, if you're Rodgers, why would you want to leave Green Bay to go to Denver if you think, as far as just thinking of who gives you the better shot to win a Super Bowl? And Green Bay had the better roster at the time. Well, the Broncos, based on the roster that we've seen, there's nothing that leads me to really believe that, oh, this is a playoff team. Sean Payton can be a wizard. He can be Gandalf in the next Lord of the Rings movie. Guy's going to be like 99.
Well, Kevin James can play
him. He can play anybody. But if you don't have the guys, you don't have the guys. Who's the best player on this team? Justin Simmons? Oh, Patrick Surtain? Patrick Surtain, Justin Simmons. Great players. Pro Bowl caliber players. Outside of that, who is it? You don't have a lot of guys that you can just obviously go to and say, yeah, we got 5 dudes, man, as Steve Adazio would say. Speaking of Steve Adazio, connection to CSU, we're going to talk to Mike Brohard coming up next, 17 minutes after the hour. Hope you're in for a late night of basketball, Rams fans, because it's going to be wild. You got a 9 o'clock game tonight against San Jose State, and they just came off of a pretty nice win the other day. And then the women's team going. So we got a senior night for them. So we'll talk to Mike Brohard of CSURams.com coming up next. We'll take a short break. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Your home for UNC basketball. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Nico Medved, the men's basketball coach of the Colorado State Rams, and you're listening to The Hull Show on 1310 KFKA.
We're live from the Aloe Fiber Studios here. Welcome back into The Hull Show. Joining us on our First Advantage Hotline, Mike Brohard from CSURams.com. It's going to be a long day for CSU Rams as far as basketball is concerned. You've got the women's team going at it at 6:30 at home for senior night, I believe, Mike, against Boise State. And then on the men's side of things, the Rams are going up against San Jose State for a 9 o'clock start on CBS Sports Network. So buckle up, Rams fans. Here we go.
That's right. It's going to be a late week for basketball fans because the men's game on Friday is also a 9 p.m. tip for their senior day at home.
Well, and the Friday game's fine. You know, I don't have to do anything the next day, Mike, so that's fine. But tonight, yeah, I might need to get a nap in at some point. Might need to pull that out at some point throughout the day and grab a nap.
That sounds good. Yeah. That sounds good. Just maybe in the next hour.
Just let
Angel take over.
Angel, you got a segment or two, right? You got something. We got something we can talk about. All right, Mike, let's look at these games tonight. How about for the women's side of things? You know, obviously, we knew there was going to be a very important stretch for them in these last 4 or 5 games. They lose to San Diego State. They lose to Wyoming. Still have Boise State coming up next. Where can they finish here? I'm looking at the standings. They're tied with San Diego State at 11-6. Can they still? Can they get up to third? Is that about right? Is that about as far as they can go?
Yeah. So the easiest scenario is the Rams just win tonight and they take third.
Okay.
And then they don't have to worry about what else happens anywhere around the league. Because San Diego State and New Mexico are both playing games, they're very winnable for them. So if Colorado State slips tonight, they could fall all the way down to sixth, which they don't want to do because that means you're playing the first day. So they can finish third. There's a possibility if they were to lose And I think San Diego State or New Mexico loses, they could take fifth. But you really don't want to count on that. So basically the easiest scenario for Colorado State to follow is just come out, beat the Broncos, and be the third seed, fly out Saturday for the tournament, and not worry about having to play until Monday.
Yeah, no doubt. It's what's fun about the end of the season here is so many of these games still have meaning. Even if you can't get the regular season conference title, you can still move up here, and that's important. You know, obviously seeding, but making sure you got one less game, one less chance to lose in an upset fashion or whatever. So yeah, big one tonight for the Rams on that side of things. Any idea what the matchup could potentially look like, Mike? I'm sure there's so many scenarios still. Maybe this is a better question. Who's the ideal matchup? Assuming CSU can get that third spot, who would you like to see them play on the second night of the tournament?
Okay, so if they're the third seed, that means they would end up basically picking up, it could be the sixth seed. Which they could ultimately see Boise State again. And they've done that before. I think a couple of years back, they had to play Air Force last game of the regular season, ended up playing them in the first game of the tournament. You probably don't want to go back to back with the team, but it looks like that's how it could really shake out. As long as Boise State, you know, you'd think the 6-11 matchup, they're going to win that. So that's the way it would look to me, that it's going to be Boise State really no matter what. If they win tonight.
Well, and again, you never know how to view these. You know, they beat the Broncos by 20 or so the first time they played. We'll see what happens tonight. Sometimes you get people saying, "Well, if you beat a team twice, it's really hard to beat them the third time." Or if you split with them, great. It's you've got film of both. You got film of the win. You got film of the loss. There, I guess it really sometimes it just doesn't matter because at the end of the day, you're going to have to just go out there and we've seen this Rams team play really great basketball throughout most of the season, hit a little bit of a snag about a month ago or so. But at the end of the day, yeah, they're going to have to, whoever it is, if it is the Broncos, regardless of how this game goes down, they're going to have to be at their absolute best. They've got a shot here. I mean, really, Mike, you look at this team, their battles with UNLV twice this season show me that, hey, they can beat anybody in this conference, and they're going to have to show that when the tournament starts.
Yeah, you know, but what you're going to have to do is you're going to have to play well. You're going to have to beat a UNLV team, like we've said before on the show, that's not just playing at home, but really has like a hometown flair because two of their key players are from Las Vegas, their coach is from Las Vegas. So it's not just hometown in terms of where the school is. It's really kind of a hometown feel for some of the players, and the coach really has that for them. So it will be an interesting tournament because when you look at why this is so convoluted, when you look at the standings, it's because outside of UNLV, everybody split with everybody. So the tiebreakers, when you look at what, you know, we figured out and going through the Mountain West system, and the Mountain West verified it, it's because you have to go all the way down to how CSU would win this would be because they would have beaten Boise State twice. So when you look at the fact right now, you got Wyoming at 13-5, they're the two, but you got San Diego State's 11-6, so is Colorado State, so is New Mexico, so is Boise. The big separator is that if Colorado State wins tonight, they'll have actually swept one of those teams. Everybody else went 1-1 against each other.
That should make that stuff usually makes for a very exciting conference tournament. Mike Brohard joining us from CSURams.com. On the men's side of things, as we mentioned, they got a late one tonight against San Jose State on the road. What are we looking at for the Rams? Ideally, how much can they really move up with what? What do they have? Three? They have two games remaining at San Jose State
two
and then
remaining.
Home against New Mexico. Realistically, how far can they move up the standings, Mike?
Right now they're sitting in 9, and I think there's a possibility that they could move up as high as 7. New Mexico, like, I don't know the tiebreaker, so let's just assume, like, if New Mexico were to lose tonight and then lose to the Rams, they'd both have 11 losses. I would have to go ahead and figure out what the tiebreaker is on that. I'm going to assume that New Mexico wins the tiebreaker just because if they split, I think they beat a team that's higher up in the standings than did Colorado State, off the top of my head. But I would have to look into that, to be honest with you. I hadn't broken it down yet. until, and I don't think I'll look at it much until after tonight and see where things sit.
Yeah.
But, I mean, there is a possibility they can move up a spot or two. They're at 9 right now. You could end up being the 8 seed, maybe the 7 seed. UNLV still has a couple of games. They have 10 losses. So the first scenario, the first thing that the Rams have to worry about is they just have to play really well and see where it shakes out. And they've got to do so on the road against the San Jose State team that's coming off a really impressive victory over Boise.
Yeah. And again, that just shows you, it shows you a conference that's really good, but it also shows you, you know, even those teams that are middle of the road, past that middle of the road section, can still come out and win some big games with, like you said, San Jose State beating Boise State. When you look at the Mountain West Conference, Mike, how many at-large bids do you see here? I mean, are we looking at 3 or 4, or what are you thinking?
I think realistically they could get 4. I know at one time they were thinking that there could be 5, but, you know, San Diego State, Boise State, Nevada, Utah State, I think they all have really good shots at getting there. New Mexico's fallen off a bit. Them being sub, I think they're going to need to make an impressive run in the tournament, even with, you know, they're sitting at 20-9 right now, which looks really nice, but they need to be playing better basketball and I think make a really nice run if this league's going to get 5.
Yeah, New Mexico, that's a head-scratcher to me, Mike. I've watched a few New Mexico games. I don't know why. It just works out for the schedule. They always look like they have the right parts. They have the right pieces there. You know, I was watching that game against, I think it was against Boise State last week. They were smoking them, going to half, and then I come back. I missed the first 5 or 6 minutes, and the Broncos went on a run. New Mexico looks like they look the part at times, but here they sit, 7-9 in the conference with 20 wins. But you're right, they're going to have to do something somewhat special in the conference tournament.
Yeah, I mean, they started the season 13-0, so they're 7-9 since then. That's not a great, you know, end of the resume when you're trying to get into the tournament as an at-large team.
Yeah, no question. It's bizarre to me. But, yeah, again, so many great teams. And this is great for Mike. And again, I don't know how much all this stuff impacts. But if the Mountain West can have a really good showing, if you can get 4 teams in and those 4 teams make some noise, maybe 3 of them get past the first round and 1 or 2 of them moves on even to past the second round. All this talk about conference realignment and wherever we are, I mean, the best thing you can do for yourself and for your conference is to show out when you're on the big stage. So I think this is a very important March Madness tournament coming up for the Mountain West Conference.
Yeah, it is, especially coming off last year's where, you know, 4
right.
teams got people thought was really good, and then all 4 of them lost in the first round. It didn't look good for the league, so they want to reverse that. I mean, even if you can get 4 in this year and at least 2 of them move on to the second round and maybe 1 of them moves on to the third round, then you start making a little bit more noise. I mean, in the regular season, the league plays really well. But in the postseason, on that big stage, you can really amp up what the public perception is of a conference when you play in the NCAA tournament.
No question about it. Well, we're getting close to it, man. A few games left, 1 game left on the women's side, and 2 games to go for the men's side. We'll see how the rest of the season shakes out as we prepare for the Mountain West Conference tournament on both sides. Mike, what are you working on that we can check out at csurams.com?
I just actually posted a story about the 2 other guards that play for Colorado State's women's basketball team and the impact that Kenlon Crocker and Dusty Thurman have had, not just on the team, but really in McKenna's game, and how much it's opened up for her, some of the pressure taken off her. And I think you'll see a lot of it in her increased scoring average and her play. They've really taken some of the load off and freed her up to do some things. She does not have to have the ball in her hands all the time, which means they can create for her at times instead of her always having to either create for others or herself.
Excellent. So, yeah. Go ahead, Mike. Sorry.
No, you're fine.
All right. Excellent insight from you as always, man. Love what you're able to do in bringing these stories to life, especially this time of year, too, as we are kind of gearing up for these tournaments. It's fun to read those stories and how some of these players have stepped up their game to put their teams in the position that they're in. And, Mike, before we leave, Isaiah Stevens, what do you think the chances are of him coming back next year?
I think that I just wish the young man peace when it comes time to make a very crucial decision for himself.
It checks out. Mike, my friend, we'll talk to you soon.
I appreciate it, Brady. I was wondering if you were going to get to that. If we were just going to let that slide by.
Oh, Mike, you know, I have it like tattooed on my hand here, man. I mean, and then I'll have to cross that out and write something else over it next year. But we'll find something, I'm sure.
If it's tattooed, it's going to be hard to come off. Want you to let you know.
Just
that.
Cross it out. Just put a cross out through it. Yeah, we'll figure it out. Mike Brohard, great work from you as always, man. Get yourself a nap in, can you? I mean, I won't tell anybody. Just try to, because it's a big day for you.
I do have a couch in my office, but I'm not sleepy, so I think I'm doing pretty good.
All right. Well, it's an anticipatory nap, you know? Prepare. Get yourself, or just load up on the coffee, whatever you got to do. Mike, my friend, we'll catch up with you next week. We'll have a better idea of what these tournaments look like. Oh, of course, the women's side will know pretty quickly here, but we'll be looking forward to talking to you then.
Yeah, next week I'll already be in Vegas.
So. Yeah, and be ready to go. All right, man. We'll talk to you soon.
Take care.
Mike Brohard, CSURams.com. CSU beat Wyoming last week. That was a big win, a nice win for CSU. The Wyoming Cowboys have had a very similar year to what CSU has had. They did beat Nevada last night. Can you believe that? Nevada's 22-8. They're one of those teams that's probably that will get that at-large bid. Wyoming beat Nevada. And I want to read this. It's a long one, but I want to read it because it's Jeff Linder. And I got a lot of respect for that guy. He is a friend. He's a friend of the show. I'm careful to say he's a friend of mine. We don't hang out. You know, I've asked, but we don't hang out. But he's a good dude. According to Alex Taylor, who covers the team, he covers Wyoming. He tweeted out what Jeff Linder had to say about loyalty after the win over Nevada last night on senior night. Because, again, Wyoming had a bunch of those Pac-12 guys that transferred over. They left. And so they've had a lot of that going on. Here's what Jeff Linder had to say, former UNC Bears head coach and current Wyoming coach. He said, at some point, you get tired of hearing what you want to hear, and you need to hear the truth. I'm a truth teller. If you don't like hearing the truth, don't come play for me. You know what? There's plenty of chatter out there, and there's plenty of BS out there. But at the end of the day, when I look in the mirror, I know what my character is, and I know how I coach. I'm not for everyone. But I know I have a high standard, and I'm not lowering my standard. I'm going to find guys who want to be held at a high standard. There's still guys who still want to be held to a high standard that want to be coached. That's what I want to be pushed, and or that they want to be pushed, and they know. Sometimes it's not going to come out the way that you want to hear it. But at the end of the day, you're going to hear the truth. I've had a lot of great players. I haven't discriminated against good players. You can go down the line and you can go look at all the stats of the guys that led my teams in scoring and the guys that helped me win games. I don't discriminate against good players. And guys who are winning players and guys who, you know what, they're in the foxhole with you, whether they're playing or not playing. To have two guys like Hunter Thompson, said that they didn't have to choose to jump in the foxhole with me. They could have said, you know what, I'm good. I'm going to go somewhere else. But they trusted me with what I did at the University of Northern Colorado. They could look me in the eye and they're of similar character. Like I said, Hunter Maldonado, he got the truth. But you know what? He was mature enough to be able to process what I was trying to say. Hunter Thompson, there were a lot of conversations with him where I say, hey, you got to be better. And you know what? I love those guys. And hopefully I know they love me. Those are the type of guys where that's what the University of Wyoming is going to be. If I have to be a different kind of coach and crawl through a pile of, you know what, to come out clean on the other side, you know what? I don't know if I'm into that. That's Jeff Linder talking about loyalty. He's been through the ringer this year, but I got a lot of respect for that head coach. 38 minutes after the hour. Let's jump out and get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
Hi, this is Jesse Kurtz, executive producer and lead anchor of the Mountain West Network, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Well, about a week after we find out that Vance Joseph will be back with the Broncos as the defensive coordinator, it's kind of had me thinking about Vance. And I mean, he was ultimately kind of laughed out of Denver. I feel like Vic Fangio, there was maybe more of a somewhat of a respect factor with Vic, I think. Not sure why, but Vance, it was a tough go for him. Now, Vance got 2 years. Vic Fangio got three. So it's weird. You would think that Vic maybe, you know, gave him more time, and he did just about the same. But Vance Joseph in his time as the Denver Broncos head coach, dude, I'm looking at the rosters that he had, you know, and I'm looking at the draft picks that he had, that they had that those 2 years for him leading up to being the head coach of the Broncos. I mean, they had some historically bad drafts. But look at the roster. His first year, his quarterback was Trevor Siemian. He was he threw for 2,200 yards and 12 touchdowns, 4 interceptions. His running back was C.J. Anderson, and this was not C.J. Anderson of old. This was still a 1,000-yard rusher, but still not the guy that earned his keep being that practice squad player and moving up the ranks as an undrafted guy. You had Emmanuel Sanders, but still not the stud wide receiver in Emmanuel Sanders. He was a 47-catch, 555-yard guy that year. You were on the downhill end with Sanders. Demaryius Thomas, that was a good one. He still had a pretty good year. He had 949 yards and 5 touchdowns. Tight end, Virgil Green, a whopping 14 catches in 16 games for 191 yards and a touchdown. Jeff Heuermann, remember him? Ohio State, couldn't stay healthy. I think he was from Ohio State. He had 9 catches in 6 games. Their offensive line, that was Garrett Bowles' rookie season. Then it was Max Garcia at left guard, Matt Paradis at center, Ronald Leary, which didn't work out. They spent a lot of money to bring him in and didn't work out. Menelik Watson. On the defensive side, they had some guys there. Derek Wolfe was still there. Adam Gotsis. Shaq Barrett was still there. You had Von Miller, who he only played in, I mean, wasn't he hurt that year? Or no, he wasn't hurt that year. He played, he had 10 sacks. That was like one of his better years post-Super Bowl. Aqib Talib, Chris Harris Jr., Justin Simmons, and Darian Stewart. So you still had that remnants of the no-fly zone. They were just getting up there. Talib was 31 when Vance was there. And, you know, Chris Harris Jr. is 28. Chris Harris was very good for Denver in their heyday. But I think by the time Vance got there, you know, these guys were all starting to slowly go down. I'm just looking. The only guy that was a part of, as far as the starters, it was just Justin Simmons was there. So he's still there on the defensive side for Vance. The second year, he went 6-10. His quarterback was Case Keenum. I mean, you go Trevor Siemian and Case Keenum. You had Philip Lindsay, who had a pretty impressive rookie season, had 1,000 yards. They still had Emmanuel Sanders, who actually put together a decent year. I think that was his final year with Denver, maybe. 71 catches for 868 yards and 4 touchdowns. Demaryius Thomas, he only played in 8 games that year. He had some injuries. He had 36 catches for 400 yards and 3 touchdowns. Your tight end was Jeff Heuermann, 31 catches. Dude, tight end has just been a position that the Broncos cannot figure out. You had Garrett Bowles still, Billy Turner, Matt Paradis, Connor McGovern, Jared Veldier. I mean, again, this was a bad roster, really, for Vance. Your defense, you had Derek Wolfe still. You moved on from Shaq Barrett, and then you drafted Bradley Chubb, although his rookie year was really good. Vaughn only played 7 games that year. You had Todd Davis, Josie Jewell. That was his rookie year. He turned out to be all right. You had Bradley Roby, Chris Harris Jr. as the starters then, because you moved Aqib Talib was done, and you still had Darian Stewart. So you kind of saw some of these pieces from their Super Bowl year, but those pieces were aging, and it just you didn't have anything special for Vance Joseph. So to be fair to this guy, the roster was not constructed worth a damn. Trevor Siemian and Case Keenum were his quarterbacks. So it's kind of an unfair shake for Vance. You know, and I feel like in his heart of hearts, he thought he could turn this around. He thought maybe one more year, but you never gave him a quarterback. John Elway decided, oh, Trevor Siemian's the guy. And then Trevor Siemian's not the guy. Let's bring Case Keenum in. And they paid him decent money at that time for a quarterback like Case Keenum to come in, who threw for about 4,000 yards, but also 15 interceptions. Vance had a rough go as the head coach of the Broncos, man.
Who was his OC during those years?
In 17, it was Mike McCoy, and then they fired him, and then it was Bill Musgrave. The following year, it was still Bill Musgrave. And his defensive coordinator was Joe Woods both of those years. So, I mean, they tried the route of, oh, let's fire Mike McCoy. Let's make him the scapegoat. Vance finished 5-11 his first year, and they almost fired him at the end of that year. Elway said he had to sleep on it. And then they moved on. Or then they stuck with him. And then the next season, he got a game better. He went 6-10. That's why when I asked the question, like, who was the worst coach in Broncos history? I think Vance is going to, I mean, he's there. He's one of them. But you're going with Hackett, number one bad one, and then Josh McDaniels. I don't think Vance is in that. Vance was not given any tools. Josh came in, that was before John Elway. Josh came in and just said, I want to get rid of all these people. I want to bring in my people. So there was really no excuses for Josh. He had all the control. Vance didn't have the control. Elway had a lot of control, especially in that time. Good for Vance to want to come back. He wants to be in Denver. And maybe he can not turn this defense around, but keep it going. And maybe make it a little bit better. I'm not, like, extremely optimistic about it, but I don't hate it. I know some Broncos fans really hate the idea of bringing back a failed coach that was your leader for the longest time, and then to come back only 3 years later, 4 years later, to be the defensive coordinator. It's strange looking for sure, but I honestly don't hate it, and I don't hate this coaching staff. I'm really liking what Sean Payton is doing. Lemons Heating and Cooling will help you out with your heater, your air conditioner, duct cleaning. Check them out online at lemonsheatingandcooling.com. That's lemonsheatingandcooling.com. You can call them today, 970-567-0798. 12:50 the time. Let's take a quick break. We'll read some of your texts coming back on the other side. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
Sean Payton, Russell Wilson. Will it work out? Here are our thoughts on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, what's going on? This is Justin Adams with CBS 4 down in Denver, Colorado, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Tuesdays at Cable's Pub and Grill. Where they bring the burger madness for $9.99, man. You get one heck of a burger, one heck of a meal every single Tuesday. Their burgers are legit, man. They are on fire. Check them out at Cable's Pub and Grill in West Greeley. Tell them we sent you here from the whole show. That's where my friends meet, Cable's Pub and Grill. The Weld County Swami said on ESPN today, they said unanimously that they believe the Lakers would beat the Nuggets in the first round of the playoffs. If the Lakers can get in. Like, I always love that. Well, if they get in, they could beat anybody. This isn't like a college conference tournament here where anything can happen. You know what? Let's see it. Let's see it. I want the Lakers. Let's go. Let's knock them out on national television every other night in the first round of the NBA playoffs. Let's go.
If that did happen, the Nuggets would never get credit for it.
It'd be, well, LeBron hurt his ankle, and they had a lot of turmoil with the trade deadline and everything.
Something, 23 important games or something.
Yeah.
No.
No, that goes away because LeBron gets a pass for everything. They've already got the excuse for them missing the playoffs. Suddenly LeBron I'm not saying he's faking an injury. I'm just saying that now the narrative is if they don't make the playoffs, well, LeBron went down and he's going to miss at least 2 weeks in a crucial time.
How many actual games has he played this year?
I don't know. I mean,
I feel like he's out every other week.
After he broke the record, he missed a lot of games. So what did he play? He played, I got it here. He played 47. 47 games. They've played how many games so far? Are we at like 63, 64?
Something like that.
So he's missed like close to 20 games already. All right, when we come back, we'll get into some NFL stuff, but I got a lot of interesting quotes that I want to get to from Damian Lillard, from Charles Barkley, the state of the NBA, and just some of these guys talking about it. But we're also going to do the state of the NFL today in the NFL, because today's the last day you can put a player on a franchise tag. And players are getting cut like crazy. We're talking about trade still, all that stuff, man. We're going to get to it. There's a lot to discuss in our third hour of the program. Our poll question of the day is available at thewholeshow.com. And I just want to know, are you a fan of the MLB's new pitch clock? Go vote at thewholeshow.com. We'll see where that one rounds out by the time we end the show today. So looking forward to our chat coming up next. We'll look at the NFL. We'll talk all things Denver Nuggets as well. And I say, dude, bring it then. If the national media can't get over slobbering all over the Lakers, let's go beat them up on national television. Let's just do it. Bring on the Lakers. But I don't think they're going to make it. Talk about it next. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We're right here in Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.